Happy Tuesday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, live here in the bowels of Raymond James Stadium, Ira. I'm Steve Isbitz, your Ira Kaufman. Lee DeCamper's with us. This is your podcast, the Ira Kaufman Podcast, featuring the sage of Tampa Bay sports. Podcast, of course, is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon.
Ira, at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, one reason I mention them first is that it's the last chance sale. Get their absolute best offers of the year. You waited for the season's best lease offers. You waited for 0%.
They're waiting for a Christmas bonus. So am I.
Now, don't wait any longer. It's the last chance sale at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Of course, at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, you can save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind. We all know about their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. Just like you, Ira, they're all inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. On those, you can get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. That's EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. And at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, don't miss it. Last chance to save is now. General Manager Brian Danahy has the season's best offers. Lease 2018 XT5s for only $319 a month with zero down, or get 0% financing 60 months at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Shop all their year-end clearance offers, EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com. See the dealer for all the fantastic details.
How about those offers, Ira? The year's almost over. You're going to be another year older. How about
Steve,
that?
Steve, we're speaking in the wee-wee hours. In the wee-wee hours. But I still have enough juice to say, you got to show up and see what kind of offers Ed Morris is going to give you for these Cadillacs, whether it's a new one, pre-owned. Time's running out for these offers. I would say, make your journey. You're going to be very well pleased and very surprised by how affordable it is. And Lee, I understand that you and I will both be driving Escalades within a couple of weeks when the checks roll.
No. Well, here's what I can say. Don't you get 5-star customer service when you go to Ed Morris Cadillac?
Treat me like a king. Much better than I'm treated around this building, I can tell you that right now.
And just so people know, we're at in one of the coaches' offices. It might even be a general manager's office. Maybe a suite at the Den of Depression. It is 1:46 a.m. Tuesday morning.
Don't remind me, my friend.
Well,
don't
you want to get out of here because you're scared that Dante's going to have a wet spot on the living room rug if you don't give him a walk. We're dedicated to JoeBucksFan.com and the Ira Kaufman
Steve,
podcast.
What's the old line, Steve? Nothing good happens at 2:30 in the morning.
Well, speaking of
especially
wet,
especially in Tampa.
Speaking of wet spot, all the stuff here is tears, I think, from the Buccaneers staff working in here because it's another loss. And
In a lost season,
they're 4-10, and I've got some issues, a lot of issues with this game, Ira. And one thing I got to tell everybody, this is we're kind of going live and raw here. This is going to be a different kind of podcast in some ways. We can't hold back. It's the wee hours, Ira. Your take on this game, state of the Bucks, John Gruden night. Yeah, we're over it already. It was very nice. What's the state of the Bucks this game? What can you tell us?
Get your pen out, Isbitz. Get your pen out because you're not going to like what I'm about to say. And you might as well take some of your copious notes. What I'm about to say is, Lee, I'm not in a mood to berate the Bucks tonight. I don't know what it is. I just had a little beet salad over there. But
they didn't have beet salad.
Lee, they played.
You just had an oatmeal raisin cookie is what you had.
They played a desperate Atlanta team. If they lost this game, they were going to be in trouble. They were going to be in a little bit of trouble. And this is a game they could not afford to lose. They were favorites on the road. And you know, you figure the Bucks were spent. Here's what I'm saying, gentlemen. In the last 3 weeks, they lost in overtime at Green Bay. They lost in the final 20 seconds against Detroit, which is another possible wild card team. And they lost a 3-point game to the Atlanta Falcons by a missed field goal. So,
and
Steve,
what
I'm saying is, they're fighting, competing.
You could also throw in another potential wild card team, Buffalo. They had them beat, and the defense puked on itself.
But that's a while back, Lee. That's
sure.
A while back. I understand it.
Well, Winston wasn't healthy. That's correct.
But I think Buck fans saw what Jameis Winston could be tonight. He was, if not spectacular, he was outstanding. A 130 QB rating, nothing to laugh at. He outplayed Matt Ryan by a wide margin, in my opinion. And I think facing a little bit more pressure than Ryan faced.
That's
although
fair to
say.
Although
they did get a sack when it counted.
Yeah.
The Bucks got a sack when it counted. Yeah. McDonald played a good game tonight, gentlemen. Yeah. He did. But Steve, you know, battle of attrition. They're down to, you know, fifth string safety, the linebackers. They could have quit. Now, what's the other side of it? Lee, they don't know how to win. I said that to Mike Smith after the game. He was pretty forlorn. I said, they don't know how to win. He goes, Ira, the first thing you got to do is learn how not to lose. That's what he
said. Well, they sure haven't done that.
And I said, Mike, is that chapter 3 from that book you wrote when you were out for you? He laughed. He laughed.
Well, I'm good.
He goes, I'm still giving you the first question on Wednesday, Ira. I'm still giving it to you.
I talked to him briefly, but just pleasantries after the game. He was in no mood. But what we'll say about Mike Smith today, after the game, him and Cutter, I saw Cutter do this too. I don't know how to describe it other than they showed their appreciation. They went to all kinds of individual defensive players, had like a little private thank you, you guys busted your tail. Individually, not team. They go up to their locker, kind of, you know, put their arm around them, patted them, say, you know, yeah, we lost, it sucked, but thank you for putting out 110%.
Isbits is chomping at the bit to get in here, and before he does, I'm just going to say, I'm going to set the stage for him. Steve, if you're coming here at 2 o'clock in the morning to berate this organization, I'm going to fight you tonight because I think your timing is going to be lousy on that regard. What do you want to say?
Well, it's not 2 o'clock. It's 1:51.
That's right. He might take advantage of it. What do you want to say, Steve?
Well, look, I don't agree with the things. I mean, I don't disagree with you, Ira, completely. But I think we've all lost sight of reality here. This is a home game, Monday Night Football, packed house. This was a packed house. I didn't see any Atlanta fans anywhere of note. Packed house, Monday Night Football. This is essentially the Buccaneers Super Bowl tonight. And are we having moral victories now because we're fighting? I mean,
they're not as good as the Atlanta Falcons.
The bar.
How many ways you want me to say it? They're not as good.
The bar has been dropped so far since the beginning of the season, since week 6, week 7. They came out and scored 7 points again. What the hell is wrong with this coaching staff that they score 7 points a half? Now they're averaging 8.1 points a half in the first half.
It's woeful.
And after opening day against the Bears, they're now averaging, I think, 6.8 points in the half.
Barber fumbled on the way to the end zone.
Barber fumbled, and that cost him in the first half. But still, it's Atlanta ran the ball down their throat. I remembered tonight, Ira, thinking just, and it's apples and oranges, but in some ways it's very similar. John Gruden was here tonight, Chucky Knight, and we remember in 2008 Gruden's demise. What do we remember about that? We remember Monday Night Football.
Russell. I was there.
Monday Night Football.
Carolina running all over.
Carolina ran it down their throat. No one was having any moral victories that night. And here we are. They ran the ball down our throat. 200 yards rushing on like 35 carries. Had their way, and I get we have all these injuries, and I get they're fighting and they're battling, but I just can't feel good about it.
Maybe that's the price, Lee, that you got to pay if you want to make sure that Julio Jones doesn't go off again. You got to throw resources at him.
Well,
and you're a little vulnerable.
That could
and no
be.
McCoy. That doesn't help.
Or David. Or David. You know, could we go on? Bond. I mean, how many other guys were? Gee. At any rate, Steve touched upon something, but I don't know. I don't want to use the term glossed over, but. You know, Steve talked about, you know, not since the Chicago game have they done blah, blah, blah on offense. Let's not forget how many short fields they had against the Bears.
Yes.
So I consider that an outlier.
That was a very weird game there. Well, he didn't mention the Bears game.
I just said in the first, since opening day,
which was the Bears,
they're averaging less than a touchdown in the first half.
Oh, well, to Lee's point, when the defense isn't helping them with the short fields.
Yeah, like I said, how many short fields did they have?
They got to generate it on themselves. Yeah. They can't do it. They can't do it. You know, when this team's got to go 70 or 80 yards, Lee, they have a terrible record.
Not often.
Year.
That's true.
Not often at all.
I don't know. I just think it's tough to celebrate. I felt
nobody's celebrating, Steve. Well, but I said it's not a night to berate them. Not to berate them.
All right. So we're not berating them. Great. So they lost to who's that Packers quarterback? That star quarterback.
Brett Hundley.
Taking him to overtime. It doesn't excite me, Ira. I'm sorry. 4-10. They got to win a game. Are we going to lose out? You believe, I know, Ira, you believe this team is going to lose out.
Yes.
Probably get thumped in Carolina next week on a short week, and then the Saints. So, I mean, are we going to have moral victories losing 6 in a row? Hey, they're fighting?
No,
I don't know.
We're going to have a big debate about whether Dirk Cutter should come back. That's what we're going to have.
I still say you can make a compelling argument to bring him back because this defense is so horrid. This team would be 7-7. With any kind of defense.
But Lee, as the head coach, he's responsible for the entire operation.
Sure he is. So, I mean, yeah, Mike Smith's on his.
He hired the coaches.
Yes, Mike Smith's on his. That's true. And I'm still of the mind as if people completely forgot he had a winning record his first year. Like it never happened.
I mean, you know, look, Steve, we're going to be talking about Dirk Cutter for
months.
Yeah, for how long until the decision's made, and then a week or two after that. But I think the fact that they haven't quit on him, Lee, they haven't quit on him, has to count for something. Because in 2011, we saw what happened when a team does quit.
Oh.
We saw it. And nobody wants to use that word, but it was apropos. A 10-game losing streak after a 4-2 start, Steve. The way they played, they weren't competitive. Lee, they were not competitive.
I'll make an argument that the defense for Lovie his last year, they, I won't even say tanked, but they sure weren't giving any effort. They was like, they just fed up. They just gave up.
What did we see from Winston tonight, guys? He made short throws. He made long throws. Mm-hmm. He gave Mike Evans a chance against double coverage.
Right before.
And threw him a 50-50 ball. Mm-hmm. And Mike Evans looked, he turned it into child's play.
Oh, you've been screaming about that forever. Before we jump to that subject, you have a pulse of Team Glazer. You're talking about not necessarily moral victories, but you're talking about how they didn't quit and they were down to like bus drivers. They were so desperate for help because of so many injuries. Does that or will that resonate in the owner's suite?
Guys, let's be honest. The one thing we don't know is whether they made up their mind 2 or 3 weeks ago. We don't know that. And reached out. I mean, they have a history of doing that. They did it with Dungy that final year in 2001.
That's right, with Parcells.
They didn't like the way things are going, and they made contact. And then they denied contact. And then in one of the most surreal scenes I've ever seen, and I've been around this team a long time.
Surreal says it all.
We're in Champaign, Illinois, last game of the season. They're playing the Bears. Henry Burris was the Bears quarterback that night. I picked the Bucks to lose the game. I don't know what the hell I was thinking.
Was that the Super Bowl year?
Yeah, it was the Super Bowl year. And you know, after they won 15-0,
yeah.
Bucks. They kicked 5 field goals, Grammatica. After the game, Rondé Barber sees me in the locker room and goes, "You picked us to lose to Henry Burris?" I said, "Well, you already had the number 2 seed wrapped up. You didn't need the game, and I figure you mail it in." We don't mail it in, Kaufman. So anyway.
So Rondé tongue lashed you.
Rondé did a job on me. What point was I trying to make? It's 2 in the
morning.
I might have lost my train of thought.
I asked you if you know, you're talking about the Hollies guy, if that resonates in the owner's
suit. So we don't know whether the decision was made or whether they've kept open mind and they want to see how the season plays out. I'm hoping it's the latter, that they want to see how the season plays out. And I'm going to say it before Izbitz because he's dying to say it. Ira, a 6-game losing streak is not going to look good on anybody's resume to end the season. He's absolutely right.
Sure.
He's absolutely right. But this game in particular, this game, this night, they played hard. They played shorthanded.
Fairly.
And I have a little bit of trouble roughing them up tonight, Lee. Especially Winston.
Mm-hmm. But you don't know if this is going to make any kind sort of impression on the Glazers. Well, again, I understand.
Well,
the fact
I'll say this. I didn't think the chance for Gruden were thunderous tonight.
Which was a little surprising.
It was a little surprising. You know, and those were Buck fans out there, Steve. There was a lack of Atlanta jerseys out there. I didn't
but
see
yeah,
any.
But, yeah, like you said, I was expecting the chorus of, "We want Chucky, we
I
want Gruden."
I thought it was going to get ugly. I mean, they were down by 10 at halftime. That's the scenario we talked about,
yeah,
Steve.
It didn't. I was chatting with somebody about this as well. I don't think there was any widespread buzz, significant buzz for bring back John Gruden.
I mean, they all gave Gruden his appreciation, which they should.
Yeah, warm appreciation.
Yeah.
There was no headhunting for Dirk Cutter tonight is really what we're trying to say. Well, let me throw this at you, Ira, because you have some insight into the mind meld of the triumvirate of the Team Glazer decision makers. Okay, the Bucks didn't quit. So it means they're playing hard. One could say that means the core of the roster is a battling roster. It's got a good heart. It's got good integrity. Does that lead the owners to say, maybe we just need another coach to push us over the edge here and pull this together?
It could, Orly. It could say to the ownership and the brain trust, we need one more year to add 3 or 4 more players to the mix. And Winston matures and gets a little better, which they expected in year 3. It didn't happen, but it could happen in year 4. It can go in a myriad of ways. But I think the fact that they're not getting blown out, that would make the decision easy. This is not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm. Provided they haven't made it.
Provided they haven't made it.
Now, here's another question for you when it concerns Team Glazer. And I heard through the grapevine This is before the Uber incident was, you know, became light, or surfaced, shall we say, that Team Glazer was all in on James.
110%. Absolutely. That's true.
After a night like he had tonight, granted it was a loss, but after a night like tonight, is that firmly entrenched the organization, not just the Glazers, but the organization, Jameis is their
guy. It helps Lee, but it doesn't eliminate the specter of a possible suspension. It doesn't go towards that. But I understand your point, Lee. Winston needed a game like this.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
That's what
because
it,
the fans had turned on
it.
Him. Yes.
He needed it. Some fans were saying the Bucs should start over. Steve, you heard it many times, on your messages and things, and use the number 7 pick on a quarterback. I think that's crazy.
No Baker Mayfield.
But I'll say this. If a suspension comes down, and depending on what the ruling looks like, and it says, you know, clearly Winston did this, what he was charged with. And
tried to cover it up.
To me, that puts his future in a whole different light.
I agree.
Well, so you look at tonight, and I guess you could say that the better Jameis plays for Dirk Koetter, the harder it is to get rid of Dirk Koetter. I mean, if Jameis keeps going 27-35 for 3 touchdowns and 299 yards, why would you disrupt that? And that's why Cutter's here, because they didn't want to disrupt that. And here we go with the guy developing. It's interesting, but Ira, I want to take you to the news conference. We'll go to Jameis' post-game news conference.
I thought he was very good at the podium. I did. And you, I asked a lot of questions.
You asked the money question. Okay, you asked him, hey, does the Bucs playing hard tonight, does
reflect.
That reflect how the team feels about its head coach?
That was my question.
And I transcribed this. Jameis was
and as I was asking that question, the whole PR department lit up like it was like a Christmas tree. They loved that question.
Did they?
Did
All
they?
Right,
I didn't
that's
know
good.
That. Did they? Huh?
All right, so let me read this to you, Ira. And this was interesting because Jameis, he went to the Ian Rappaport card in his answer.
Yeah, I didn't think he would, but he did.
Which that was very interesting. He says, "We love our head coach." That's how he starts his answer. Our head coach sets our morals. And his main thing is compete, and you can see it through every one of those guys in there. You know, every time he steps up in a meeting and he posts a slideshow of what it is our objective, passion, competitiveness, mental toughness, he's instilled that in us. Some of the guys have that in themselves, Jameis continues. But we got a coach, man, and when you're trying to lead men, you know, these are men who have families. Some don't have families, Jameis says. But when you got a guy who comes back to work consistent like Koetter, you know, I love my coach, and that's why I was so disturbed that someone would bring something up to try to distract us. Now, that's Rappaport, in my opinion, right there, that whole NFL
sure,
Network
who else could
report. It could be Roy Cummings. You never know. But to distract. Calm down, Ira. Calm down.
That's outstanding.
You got choked
at
up
two
there.
In the morning, that's outstanding.
So I'll go back. But when you got a guy who comes back to work consistent like him, you know, I love my coach, and that's why I was so disturbed that someone would bring up something to distract us, you know, and that it just adds fuel to our fire in a way, because we got so much respect for our coaches, not just Coach Koetter, for our coaches on this team, because they worked their ass off, and I just hate for them that the results of our play or the season, you know, is on them when, quite frankly, it's on the players, it's on us. What do you make of that?
I thought it was a pretty passionate defense, Lee. I didn't know he was going to go to the Rappaport report. But I threw it out there. I gave him an opportunity. And I think he ran with it pretty well. You know, I've been critical of Jameis the last couple of weeks at the podium. I don't think he's answered questions directly. He answers what he wants to answer. And you know, the question really doesn't matter. He's programmed tonight. I didn't think he was very programmed.
Well, no,
tonight.
He used to have.
He wasn't robotic tonight.
He used to have a generic answer. I haven't heard him say it in a while, but I love the generic answer.
The only thing he didn't like was what'd you think of Patrick Murray missing that field goal? That was what'd you think? And he said he missed. Right. That was his answer.
I missed from Jameis. He had a generic answer for questions he didn't like, and I haven't heard him say that in maybe 2 years. Like, it isn't about that.
Yeah.
It's not about that.
Yeah, that's
it's not about that. But you, I, Rick Hoffman, you still have it stuck in your craw. Craw? What? Craw? you still have it stuck in your craw that his rookie year, Bengals preseason game, damn near broke his ankle in half.
Never forget.
You asked him about
Nobody
that.
Nobody was going to ask it, so
you,
I asked
You
it.
Asked him about what it looked like he had a broken ankle.
Yep. And I said, what happened on that play?
And his response?
Goes, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, just totally out there in space. Now, Steve, he used the same word that Dirk Cutter uses. Consistent. Dirk Cutter keeps answering
programmed.
That same way. I have a very consistent relationship. I think Cutter could do a little better than just using that word.
Programmed.
I think he could go into a little more detail. But Winston did use the word consistent. Now, here's one point I want to make about Winston's answer. Lee, you know this. One thing Cutter has acknowledged several times this year as things have gone awry is he is concerned about whether he's getting through to his players. He's acknowledged that he's worried about motivation and sometimes how hard it is to judge whether you're getting through to people or not. It's one of the rare times, I think, and Cutter's done it several times this year, where he lowers the shield a little bit, lowers the mask, and I think he's admitted that he worries about motivating players through a bad season, toward the end of a bad season.
He does, and he's taken some flack for that. I know Kamish on his podcast. I know you don't want me quoting the Kamish.
That's fine.
Or Tom Coren.
We're under
or,
the same umbrella.
No, I'm teasing you there. He's taken some heat from fans on that. But, you know, frankly, when we sat down with Dirk Cutter, the three of us in the summer for your podcast, he brought it up then, saying that it's, you know, he takes a lot of pride in trying to get through to players, but it's a hit or miss kind of thing, and each week's a different week. And
well, it sounds like, according to Winston, that he's being successful in keeping these guys, you know, on point.
Well, to backtrack a little bit, you know, you're talking about how, you know, they're, like I said, they were down to bus drivers for players with all the injuries, and they're busting their tail, and they had a chance to tie the game up last play. So that, to me, demonstrates that, yeah, Cutter is getting through these guys to a degree, minimum to a degree.
But, Steve, to your point, they still don't know how to win. They don't know how to
They're playing hard. They don't know how to win. I just don't know if the Glazers, like, well, look, they played hard for Tony Dungy. And they just thought they needed someone to put them over the top.
Good point.
So if the Glazers are thinking, man, John Gruden last week said the Bucks are 8 or 9 plays away from a winning record. Maybe we are. And I don't know. I mean, that's very simplistic.
We don't know for a fact, guys, that the Glazers are convinced that the talent level on this team is what it should be. We don't know that.
Well, there's two elements of the defense that sure as hell is not.
I have a hard time blaming Mike Smith for a lack of a pass rush. And so do you, Steve.
Well, I do to a degree.
He doesn't have the pieces.
Well,
Ira, he doesn't.
Ira, I'll go back to this. And we may have talked about this in your last podcast. If I can remember the names correctly. I mean, three total stiffs. Daquan Bowers, Ghost Johnson. Who am I missing? Ghost Johnson, Daquan Bowers, Akeem Spence. Three total stiffs that were on the Bucks. Somehow, some way, Lovie Smith squeezed 8.5 sacks between those three guys. The Bucks now have Robert Ayers, who's a decent defensive end. No, he'll never be in the Hall of Fame, but he's not schlock either. Decent defensive end. They have Swaggy Baker, who they dumped a lot of money on. And there's another defensive end I'm missing. Oh, Will Golson, who they gave. Now, granted, Will Golson's he won't be a 7-sack guy, but you figure 4 or 5 sacks, come on. And they have a grand total of 2.5 sacks between those guys. So if Lovie Smith could get 3 complete garage doors to 8.5 sacks, why can't Mike Smith get something from Ayers, something from Golston, something from Swaggy Baker?
Steve, you saw my tweet tonight. This marks the 10th time in a 14-game season that the Bucks have posted less than 2 sacks. 10 out of 14, either 0 or 1. Mm-hmm. 0, I think, 6 times. 1, I think, 4 times. That's just not. And by the way, did Clay Campbell get another sack yesterday? I believe that.
2.
2 more?
2 more,
oh,
yeah.
God.
If you don't vote Doug Marrone Coach of the Year, and that ballot of yours.
What is this with you and Doug Marrone? You bring his name up every freaking week. You never heard of Sean McVay?
It's a great story. Marrone's a better story.
I would go with McVay, although there's no doubt Marrone's going to help. McVay's been a miracle worker.
He went up to Seattle and kicked their ass. Do I have to remind you of that yesterday? It was an embarrassment for Seattle. Michael Bennett's crying
all the
way home.
We'll see. Well, they have the same record.
All right. I'm not saying Marrone
Jacksonville,
hasn't done a good job.
You know who Jacksonville throttled this year? You realize, I think they was like
Pittsburgh,
third.
I think.
Killed them in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they picked them off 5 times. I think. Didn't Steve ask me about Marrone's deportment or his demeanor during like the exhibition game, and I said he looks like a dead man walking
Steve,
or something.
Steve is still giddy that I was at the Aria Resort in Las Vegas this summer. And I tipped him off, said, hey, here's the odds with Jacksonville. You want it? And Steve said, oh, my gosh, I forgot to give you money. I said, I'll take care of you.
I can't believe you pulled that off.
Yeah, and Steve said, I forgot to give you money. I said, I'll take care of you, Steve.
What was the number?
You know,
seven?
You know what's interesting?
No, it wasn't seven, was it?
It was six.
Six, yeah.
Six, wow.
You know what's interesting?
You dropped the C note. And what'd you win?
I don't know. I forgot.
But you won.
It's on my ticket.
He doesn't want to tell me because then, you know, I'm ready. I'm going to hit him for
a race. I don't have my ticket in front of me. No, so Ira, look. If you look at, it's interesting, though, it's in John Gruden night tonight at the stadium. If you look at Jacksonville staff, who's their offensive coordinator? Nathaniel Hackett. That's a Gruden disciple. Who's their defensive coordinator? Who took the reins and jacked this thing up? Todd Wash. That's a Gruden guy. So it's very interesting.
You know, Sean McVay, I believe, was on Gruden's staff. I believe
was
he was.
A gopher?
I think he was like a gopher.
GA, what do they call that?
Quality control. Yeah, I believe that's true.
So, Gruden's tree is growing a little better this year.
By the way, can
sure.
I tell our listeners, can I tell our people in Guam and Iceland that I ran into Raheem Morris?
Reykjavik?
Outside the Falcons, you know, locker room. Big greeting for me. Ira, where you been? I was standing next to Martin Fennelly. He goes, who's the guy next to you, Ira? No, I'm kidding. But big hug, big greeting. And Raheem goes, what's going on, Ira? And I go, Raheem, it's all about a race to 11. And he started laughing because he still remembered that line of mine. Remember that time he came in? It's all about a race to 10, and I'm sitting in the front row. He goes, Ira, what are you smiling about? I go, Raheem, does that count the preseason?
Oh.
He goes, you're the only guy that would say that, Calvin. You're the only one.
And who else did you meet this evening, Ira?
Arthur Blank was wandering around.
But you didn't
and I
him?
Also, but he was on his cell phone. He was talking to his wife. I didn't want to interrupt him. You know, even though his wife's the one that I pleaded my case to, that he called me Irv for 10 years.
So maybe he's trying
and
to sell.
She said, Arthur, how can you do that to him?
Thought maybe he was calling Tokyo, trying to sell some stock on Tokyo.
Well, maybe
Tokyo
maybe he was talking to Eddie DeBartolo, trying to get him to talk buy the Panthers.
Well, yeah. Who else did you meet tonight?
I believe I met one of the players' fathers tonight. I
know. And who would that be?
I'll let Isbitz talk about it for a minute.
I'm not sure, but I was going to say I know that you, you said Arthur Blank was talking to his wife, but with these NFL owners these days, you never Isbitz, know what they're Isbitz. Doing. You know,
your mind's in 2001 Odyssey, and then
Jerry Richardson. It could be Jeans Day. You know, you never know what's going on.
I mean, I didn't read the report. Was that bad? He's selling his team.
Oh my gosh,
it was bad.
It's really
what did he
bad.
Do? Did he rape people or what?
No. But when he would take the secretaries to lunch or whatever, he would they'd get in the car in the front seat and he'd say, I put on your seatbelt for you. Then he'd reach over.
Yeah, it's a
and,
little
and
put,
do
yeah.
the whole seatbelt.
Oh, there's all kinds.
Really much.
It goes very deep.
You haven't used that since 1986, and it worked very well for you on the island, if I do remember.
All right, come on. Let's get realistic.
All right. He all wants right. to talk about who he introduced me to tonight, Steve. It was an important moment. Go ahead, Lee.
Antonor Winston. You got to meet Antonor for the first time.
Jameis Winston's father. I wasn't sure who it was, and Lee gave the introduction. What did he say when he saw me? And you said,
I know you, or something like that.
Yeah, he goes, you're the guy that one day you say my son's outstanding, and the next day you say we got to run off. Jameis Winston.
He needles me about that, too. He comes up one time a couple months ago. He's like, he goes, dang it, Lee, you Joe Bucks fan. I said, what's wrong? He goes, you're too hard on my boy. And I'm like, Andrew, no one defends Jameis more than us. Come on. He goes, I'm just razzing you.
But, you got to hope that, speaking of that Rappaport report, you know, we don't know for sure.
Yeah.
And you have to hope that it didn't come from the Jameis
camp. You can tell where Jameis gets his personality from, can't you?
No question
about
it.
Yeah, Dad.
No question about it.
Well, Ira, it's an interesting night here. The Bucks lose. I wrote this up just as an impression after the game. But again, did you think that there's just a little too much for your taste or your experience? Is it just a little odd that there's just such a vibe of a moral victory kind of thing?
Yes. I will buy that, Steve. Because it goes into the category, Lee, of lowering the bar. The bar's low. And I can't argue that. The bar's low.
Yeah, especially given the division. I mean, what's going on
another
in this
division? Another double-digit loss season, Lee. Mm. Another one.
Another year where
another
we won't.
Another year in the basement.
Another year where we won't have a winning season at home. They're 3-4 at
they
home.
3-4 at home
this season. So the den of depression lives.
This team, this franchise, is inching toward Cleveland Browns territory.
Well, and another step could be if they fire Cutter after 2 years. That'll be another step towards the only, Cleveland
now
territory.
Now you wrote this column a couple weeks ago. I don't know if it was a couple weeks ago, but you wrote this column that. If the Rams make it to the playoffs, which they look like they will, if the Jaguars have clinched a playoff bid.
And the Bills are a possibility.
If those three teams come in, that means it's Browns, I can't think of the second team, and the Bucks.
I believe that's right.
Those three teams that have the longest playoff droughts.
Yeah, I believe that's right.
No, well, the Bills was in. We were not assuming. Okay. The Bills, it was Cleveland.
Well, not
Buffalo.
Now the Bills could possibly make it.
Well, possibly, they're not at the end, but it was. You know, if you factor in, yes, the Rams are making it, yes, the Jaguars are making it, it would be the Browns, Bills, and Bucks. The only difference between the Bucks and those two teams is, and I hate to say it because these guys, I think the world of them, but the Browns and the Bills, you could almost give a pass because they had new ownership. Bucks have not.
Yeah. Now, you would also say the Bucks are a little farther ahead in terms of quarterback, you would hope, than the Browns and the Bills.
Yeah, but still. They're losing.
Steve, 10 years without a playoff berth. Totally unacceptable. Totally unacceptable.
Yeah, it
we
is.
We can never lose track of that. Never.
No, that's what I'm saying. The bar has dropped so far where you got a locker room of guys saying, well, you know, we fought real hard. Guys got hurt. What? It's the NFL.
Lee, no playoff win since the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
That's 15 years. 15 years.
Jameis, two and nine.
Two and nine.
Yeah.
So I guess technically what I'm talking about is
2-10 as a starter this year.
Two and nine.
So would I be wrong if what I say is and what we just talked about? You know, assuming the Rams make the playoffs, I think they will. Jaguars have clinched the ownership group with the longest playoff drought
in the NFC.
In the NFL is the Glazers. Again, the Browns had how long has Haslam owned the Browns?
I see what you mean.
5 years, maybe.
Yeah.
The Bills, what, 3-4 years ago they changed to, I can't think of the last, it starts with a D, Italian name. They're big Penn State boosters. But so it'd be the ownership group with the longest drought would be the Glazer family.
You know, I said this before, Steve. I'm going to say it again, and I'll probably say it a few more times before the year's out. But if Cutter goes. And your ownership, and you're honest with, you know, remember Parcells used to talk about the man in the mirror? You can't cheat the man in the mirror. Remember that? They got to look themselves in the mirror and say, it's on us. It's on us. We keep making bad choices. Cutter would go down as another bad choice if you fire him. And don't you have to look at yourself, the process?
Sure.
What are you doing?
Well, that's...
What are you doing? You keep picking the wrong person. You're picking them.
Well, they could be listening to the wrong people because they have their advisors,
well,
their counselors.
That's why I'm saying the process is not working, you know?
Hey, you would think. And before you mentioned the talent level, and a report came out on Jason Light. We'll talk about that new report. The talent level defensively, look, it's woeful on the defensive line.
Except for linebackers. Linebackers,
right, we don't know what's going on with Hargraves. You know, there's a lot of questions.
And if you believe the Bucs have a good linebacker core, which I think we all do, then it further magnifies how woeful the defensive line is. And
inept.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's beyond anything anybody could comprehend. And are you going to rely on the guy who put us in that spot to rebuild it? That's a tough spot. Tough decision by the Glazers. And the whole defense has to be rebuilt in some ways because I talked to Brent Grimes today. I asked him flat out, are you coming? Do you want to play football next year? And he's dancing and he's like, well, you know, I'm going to be a free agent. And I said, well, are you thinking right now that you're a guy who I'm going to be a free agent and I'm going to have a team next year or you're just kind of not sure you want to play? And he's like, I don't know. I just know I'm going to be a free agent and.
That's classic Brooke Grimes, right? He
sounds like Brent, yeah.
He's not going to be definitive about it.
He's like, I'm not saying I don't want to play. I just, you know.
Do you even want to think about the Bucs secondary without Brent Grimes? Do you? You want to think about it? It's a pretty scary thought, Lee.
It would mean they don't have the horses at cornerback or along the defensive line. That's huge.
And might I add...
And you add the uncertainty about Hargraves.
Well, you know, we're talking about how awful the defense is, and could be without Grimes with the current defensive line. There's no question they're going... I mean, whoever's making the pick next year, there's no question they're going to address the defensive line. However, and this is the big... This is the big... The semi-truck brakes lock up on the interstate. Rarely does a rookie defensive end shine in the NFL. Rarely. For every Joey Bosa, there's 15 Gaines Adams. So, I mean, that's like, yes, they're going to draft a rookie defensive end, and he may be dominant, but there's just, I mean, it's beyond dreaming to expect the guy to get 10 sacks as a rookie.
Steve, for this season, and I'm not trying to project going forward because the guy's not 25 years old. For this season, Calais Campbell is making the Bucs look very bad.
Oh, he's making them look terrible.
Very bad. Because he's having a ripple effect. Now, the Jags have some talented players.
Sure.
So do the Bucs. Lavonte David's not chopped liver. Mm. Gerald McCoy's not a bum. Quan Alexander's pretty good.
What, 13 tackles tonight?
Campbell has made everybody around him better.
I can't go crazy about the Campbell thing. Just because I know what you're saying, and I'm not disagreeing, but you don't know if he would have signed here. I mean, there, you know,
money,
right? But Jacksonville had just as much money as we did, so you know, there's always a if there was a bidding war.
I think the Bucks bowed out rather quickly when they found out.
I'm not saying they were remotely serious about signing Campbell. I'm not saying they were in the mix. What I'm saying is that you can wax about a guy didn't sign here, but he signed somewhere else. He might have signed there anyway. They had tons of salary cap room.
When Cutter said they didn't have $15 million laying around is nonsense. I'm sorry. Doug Martin, $7 million. Come on. Swaggy Baker, how much? $6
million?
Well, look, right now the Bucks are $18 million under the cap. So, I mean, forget about the players.
You haven't mentioned your favorite player yet, Doug Martin.
Well, we'll get to Martin. Jason Light, yeah, you were at John Gruden's private party on Saturday night, mingling.
Jason Light was not there.
Doing your thing, you're mingling.
Say that again. I did not know that.
Jason Light was not there, but Jason Light's agent was there, who happens to be Gruden's agent.
The fact that Jason Light was not there, is that jumps out at me.
Well, you don't know. I mean, he might have had another.
Weren't the other Bucks officials there?
Not a lot. And not a lot of players.
Now, Ira, you were there. I believe Rick Stroud from the Tampa Bay Times was there.
I think he came late, but I believe I saw him.
And then all of a sudden, a report appears in the Tampa Bay Times that Jason Light's an option on his contract was taken by the Glazers for 2018. And there's some unsourced stuff in there just saying, that happened early in the offseason. So I'm going to throw this to you saying we don't know what that option was. Could have been an option on an option. Doesn't mean, you know what I mean, they might have exercised by X date.
Why does everybody have to keep that a secret?
That's what I was going to ask you, Ira. Not just with Joe Bucks fan. Virtually every media outlet that's covered the Bucks, including ESPN, Jenna Lane. I mentioned this to Jenna Lane tonight. She was shocked. She didn't know about it because it just broke this afternoon, Monday afternoon. How many times have we written, we being everybody that covers the Bucks, including
that he doesn't have a contract for
that
next
his
season.
Contract's up in a
Absolutely.
Few weeks. Not once did anyone from the Bucks, whether it be Light, whether it be the Glazer family, whether it be Nelson Louise, media relations director,
nobody corrected us.
And Ira, you know as well as anyone, if we kept writing something wrong like that, we would be corrected. We were never corrected. All of a sudden, this comes out, and I spoke with some a suit at one Buck saying, "Is this right?" And the person I texted with replied, "It happened some time ago." So what are they hiding? Or is this true?
I'm not sure I believe it, Ira. Do you believe it?
Well, you're just saying the guy substantiated the report. Legally.
Well, he said it happened some time ago. So why were they keeping this under wraps?
You know, I'll admit a mistake. If you tell me it's wrong, I admit it. You know, but don't let me keep saying it. When you know, if you think it's wrong,
and
you know
to be
it's
fair,
wrong.
To be fair, the Bucks are really good. If it's an honest mistake that we keep writing by accident, Bucks are pretty good. It's like, hey, no, you're getting this wrong. It's X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, they call me every week. Say, Ira doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Straighten this guy out. Get him some medication.
This just sounds shady as can be.
Now that doesn't change the fact that Jason Light is looking for an extension. He doesn't have it. Nobody's saying he's got an extension beyond next season.
Sure.
So, you know, he doesn't want to be on a one-year deal.
Who does?
Does it smell to you like Light's agent, Mr. Lamont, Gruden's agent, there's some gamesmanship here?
Perhaps.
Now, I floated this to Lee prior to the podcast earlier this evening. In the NFL, Ira, first-round picks, there's a fifth-year option on their contract. But when does a team take that option? They have to decide to take the option after the guy's third year. That's when they say, we will take the fifth-year option. That's when it happens, right? So this year...
So you're going to use Jameis Winston.
This year in May, the Bucs will exercise their option on Jameis Winston, like the Jags did last year on Blake Bortles.
In other words, we want to see a little bit more.
They just say, we exercise the fifth year after the third year. Now, if the guy, that player on your team doesn't make the squad, if he doesn't make the roster in his fifth year, they don't owe him a nickel. All they did was exercise the option where if you're here, this is what we will pay you. So it could have been the same thing in Light's contract. They might have exercised a fifth year. Jason, if you're here for that fifth year, this is what you're going to earn. Don't even know. That doesn't mean the guy's getting paid. There could be a lot of gray area here.
Could be
a lot of semantics.
He's still looking for an extension, and he doesn't have it.
Saying sort of adds up that Lamont, you know, agents are agents, and they're playing.
Lamont was at the party. I mean, there's no question about it. I talked to him.
Yeah, it seemed like a party kind of thing. I don't know. It's interesting.
Lamont says, I always tell John Gruden the same thing every year. Don't go back. Don't go back. That's his message.
Well, if
he doesn't say that Gruden's going to listen to him, but when Gruden asks him for his advice, Lamont says, I have been consistent, and I'm still telling Gruden, don't go back.
Well, I told this to Steve earlier when we were having a conversation that Steve referenced just a moment ago. You know, I always reference in stories, Chucky's making $6.5 million a year with ESPN, and he doesn't work 90 hours a week. He doesn't work 48 weeks out of the year.
And he hasn't suffered a loss since the Bucs fired him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's got a cushy gig. Let's put it that way. That's why I always thought, you know, he's crazy to take a lesser paying job and work much more hours, which a whole lot more stress. I didn't think of this. You know, again, $6.5 million. But that's not counting the potential millions he's making off Hooters, off whatever beer company that is.
I saw him do a Bridgestone tire.
Bridgestone tires. So I mean, he was
berating the tire because it had a tack in it or something. And he's screaming at the tire, get up there, do your thing, you know, shake it off.
So he's probably making upwards of $7 million a year right now.
He's living an Avila and he's living the good life. Let's put it like that.
Yeah, I mean, look, if he came back to coaching, he'd be making $7-8 million. I don't know why his agent would tell him don't go back.
That's why he's got a better. Cushier life now.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't his? I'm just thinking out loud here. Why wouldn't his agents just say, "John, do whatever you want. You're a rich man. You never have to work a day in your life."
His advice is, don't go back. Don't go back.
Would Gruden be screwing up his potential future revenue opportunities if he came back and for whatever reason he failed? Would the Hooters still be there? Would Bridgestone still be there?
On the other side, maybe Gruden feels if he wins another 100 games. You know, and the coach is 10 years, wins 100 games, maybe he's a candidate for Canton at that point.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Ira, since you are the sage.
I think you would be.
Okay. You're the only Tampa Bay Area Hall of Fame voter.
You know, he sees Dungy getting in. That don't sit well.
Seriously, there's a little bit of gamesmanship there, for lack of a better word.
As much as he is a lifer in the NFL with his father being an NFL coach and him being the boy
wonder. His brother's a coach.
He was the boy wonder of the NFL for a while, you know, grinding it out with Mike Holmgren and all that stuff, being around Brett Favre. And I mean, you know, he wants to be in the Hall of Fame. You know, he does, but he's got to win again.
Well, right now he's not getting in, you know, his names doesn't even come up.
No, he's got no chance. He's got to come
and
back.
By the way, I
want
to send a message out to one of the worst owners in the NFL, Dan Snyder. I hope you're listening, Daniel, and Bruce Allen, general manager. If you're even thinking about firing Jay Gruden, you're nuts.
That guy's
a good head coach.
You were calling out Bruce Allen. I thought you were tight with him.
Of course I'm calling out Bruce Allen.
But I thought you were tight with him.
Tight, schmite. This is Brooklyn talk here, gentlemen. If they're even thinking about canning Jay Gruden, I think that would be a colossal mistake. That's a bad franchise. That's just a bad franchise. From the owner on down. The owner sets the tone. That's why they don't win.
Ross?
No, Snyder.
I know, but you don't like Ross either.
I don't
Stephen
like
Ross.
And I don't like the stadium either. I don't like anything about that.
You don't like
team.
The Miami Stadium, the refurbished?
Oh, I don't like Stephen Ross, but I'm sucking the Redskins Stadium.
Oh, you don't like that stadium?
No, that's a terrible stadium.
Really?
Awful.
What about the Spanos clan?
Even when it was built, it wasn't state-of-the-art. How do you like that?
What about the Spanos clan?
That's what they say about you.
Another stiff. Kroenke, another stiff. Oh, I don't like Kroenke either. And now I don't like Richardson either. Jerry, by the way, he's very tight with Roger Goodell.
Was.
He was. Very, very tight with Roger Goodell.
Richardson. That's a very messy situation, and I mean, wow.
As far as we know, we haven't heard any dirt on the Glazers. You know,
I
got to
read that report. It sounds like it's saucy.
It's lurid.
Yeah, I read it. It's very disturbing.
All right, can we talk about your favorite football player?
All right, Doug Martin.
favorite football player.
He did not play tonight. I was listening on the Buccaneers Radio Network when it broke. Violation of team rules. Dirk Koetter said, violation of team rules. That's the way it is. Now, a lot of times, a guy will violate a team rule, and he either doesn't get to start, or he's on the bench, he's still active.
Misses a series or
Geno
something.
Geno Hayes used to, his alarm clock used to screw up and he'd come late. And, I don't know what happened to Doug Martin. There's speculation, but we just don't know. But he was inactive.
All right, look, guys, it's 2 and it's, what time is it, Lee?
What time it's is after it, Lee? 2, I know that. Hang on. 2:32.
All right. Out of the goodness of my heart, I'm gonna break a little news here.
Oh!
On my podcast.
The Ira Coffin podcast. I know
the team rule that number 22 violated.
Sponsored by.
Shall I say it? This team rule, which was instituted, I believe, 6 months ago, was you have to average 3 yards a carry. That's the team rule. You have to average, this is tough around here. It's tough. Got to average 3 yards a carry. Is that cruel?
That's fantastic. If you would have asked Koetter that, you should have asked Koetter that today. Did he violate the yards per carry rule?
I don't think Koetter would have appreciated it.
He wouldn't elaborate whatsoever about what happened.
So now, Barber fumbled, but, other than that, he was fairly effective.
That was worse than Martin's fumble.
My man Charles Sims did a little shake and bake. It was a brilliant downfield move, and then it got called back, right?
Yeah, because he was tackled. Scored. That's why. He was tackled, and he got up. And he got up so fast. He's good at getting up.
Here's the thing about Doug Martin. And again, and I wrote this on JoeBucksFan.com a couple hours ago after the game. The fact that Koetter would not elaborate opens the door for people to speculate whatever the hell they want, which is not good for the Bucks, which is not good for Doug Martin. If this is a minor issue, then spill the beans. Say what it is. Otherwise, people are going to automatically link him to a banned substance.
Maybe miss the team meeting.
If it's that minor, what's the harm? Say it. Otherwise, people are going to speculate he's doing drugs, he's doing this, he's doing that.
Simeon Rice missed the team meeting in San Francisco. They told him to go home.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, Ira. All I'm saying is that from your many experiences in the league that not every offense means you're inactive and deactivated for the game. So a lot of it just means you're
how
on the
exactly
bench.
Minor was this? Is what
right.
you're saying?
So I don't know. I mean, nobody from the Bucks that I heard said minor. We just know he violated a team rule.
Well, here's one.
I was going to say this. Barber averaged 4.1 yards a carry. He had the bad fumble. What are you going to do? I looked it up. That was his first fumble of his career, something like 121 carries plus receptions. So got to give the kid a little bit of break. It's his first fumble over. If you can fumble once every 100 touches, you're pretty darn
good.
It's
not bad.
That's very good.
Well, here's one for you with Doug Martin. Second time in less than a calendar year. Second time he's been a healthy scratch. The last time was Christmas Eve, 2016 in New Orleans. I was there.
You love that he was eligible to play and they didn't play him.
When they needed a win to make the playoffs. As we found out why. And this goes back to Koetter should not be closed-lipped about this if this truly was minor. Because the last time he was suspended, or a healthy scratch, excuse me, all of a sudden,
but
kaboom.
You're not suggesting this is related to his previous suspension.
What I do know is it's not fair to keep this in a shroud when it opens up, invites speculation that, this has something to do with the NFL banned substance. Not fair to Martin, not fair to the Bucs organization.
Well, in fairness, I guess, in general, Martin's welcome to speak up and say what happened and apologize.
Ira said this earlier this week. When Ira came up to me and goes, Lee, you ever see Doug Martin around anymore? I said, I can't remember the last time he was in the locker room for media availability. When's the last time you saw him in there?
You're right. DeSean Jackson, he doesn't come in. Doug Martin.
But he's coming more so than Martin. Not that much, but he does.
How are we going to wrap up this podcast?
Was Dante going to wet the bed again?
A couple of things, Ira. A couple things. You told me the other day, if I get home at 2:30, 3:30, what's the difference?
They closed Mons Venus 10 minutes ago. Come on.
Well, you got to get up at 7 to feed Timmy Russo? Is that it?
I got the plumber coming.
Oh, that's right. The plumber's coming. Yeah, Your toilet's messed up.
We're almost
done. Javier's going to send Steve a spreadsheet about how to fix toilets.
And when I told his bits, instead of giving me sympathy, he says, you can't fix that, Kaufman. Get on your hands and knees and unscrew the bottom over there.
He told you to go buy an $8 kit.
I bought the kit and I read the instruction book. Then I told my wife I'm calling the plumber in the morning.
Javier, are you listening?
A new toilet
installed. Ira needs help fixing his toilet.
A new toilet installed is going to cost you about $225. You're going to pay a plumber.
No, the guy said $95 if I have the parts. I said I do have the parts.
All right. Enough of your toilet talk. All right, we'll wrap up shortly, Ira. Couple of things. First, with Doug Martin, is there any reason?
Absolutely not.
Is there any reason in your mind why
give him any more carries?
No, why he should be on the team tomorrow?
I don't say toss him off.
Well, why not? He's not going to be here next year. We got two games to go. The guy.
Oh,
just,
I see what you're talking
the
about.
The guy just violated a team rule. If you're Dirk Cutter and you want to make a statement about accountability. And you believe you're going to be here next year. Sorry, Doug, you let us down again. You're out. I don't understand.
Well, second time in less than a year.
I'm assuming the team rule has nothing to do with the suspension in 2016. I'm assuming that. I mean,
I can't assume anything because we don't know. Then
I don't think you would couch it as violated a team rule.
No, I'm just asking you, is there any reason to have him on the team tomorrow?
He's depth behind Peyton Barber. Did you hear me? Behind Peyton Barber.
Last year at Christmas Eve, when Martin was healthy scratch, I don't recall them saying it was going to be anything major until, 3 days later? Then they had the press conference.
A couple days later. That was
if I recall correctly, they were poo-pooing it. I remember talking to Jason Light. I ambushed him right when he finished up his pregame interview with Jack Dekkerhoff coming out of the radio booth. And I was like, what's going on? And from what I remember, it was... You know, no need to sweat. There's dancing. In other words, they were dancing. All of a sudden, 3 days later, kaboom, it comes out.
He's a non-entity, Steve. He's a non-entity.
All right, so you're not going to cut him. That's fine. You walked out of that John Gruden party. You said in your column, and you told us, I believe, more than when the party went off.
I got a little more evidence that he's seriously considering coming back. More so than at any time. Since his firing, yes.
Gotcha. So I wanted to make that clear for the folks who are wondering.
And that's not necessarily tied to the Bucks. Not necessarily that he's going to. My point is he's going to return to the
NFL. So Jack Del Rio should be watching his back?
There's going to be plenty of openings, Lee. There's going to be plenty of openings. Maybe a couple that we didn't anticipate even.
There always is. Yeah, always is. You know. Always is an opening. All right, Ira, just lastly.
Mayor Cincinnati's lovely at this time of year.
Oh. That's where I was going to go. I got my sheet here. Now, look. A report came out the other day that Marvin Lewis is going to get out of the Bengals head coaching gig, and he's looking to either have an advisory role, possibly a head coaching job, but he's interested in the front office or an advisory capacity. And in short, we know that Cutter and Lewis are literally like best friends. When we were at the owners meeting, they had their own table together, the wives and everything, and they're from Idaho State. Cutter met his wife because Marvin Lewis introduced them. I mean, they're tight. He's a defensive mind. That's his thing. Mike Smith
You're saying if Cutter stays.
Mike Smith was on Marvin Lewis's staff with the heyday of the Ravens. I mean, if Marvin Lewis is looking to get out of coaching and put his feet up for a year and make $1 million and consult.
Interesting.
That's an interesting fix here that I think Cutter is smart enough, and his agent smart enough to maybe sell that to the Glazers in advance. What do you think of that?
You know, it's hard to knock Marvin Lewis as a defensive coach. You know, his acumen is
very good.
It's very good. I thought you were trying to say that he could be the next head coach. That ain't going to happen.
No,
that ain't going to happen.
Wasn't Marvin Lewis defensive coordinator for – Tower at Pittsburgh for a while, or linebackers coach?
I don't think he was in Pittsburgh.
He was in Pittsburgh as an assistant. I just don't know what capacity. Okay. Coordinator or linebackers coach. Then he went to Baltimore. But I know he was in Pittsburgh. Here's something. We're talking about coaches.
Was he the D coordinator for that great Ravens defense?
Yes. That's how he made his name.
For Brian Billick.
But dive into that, Ira. What do you think? You think that's a marriage here?
Well,
Does that help Cutter?
I've been saying that, you know, you can bring Cutter back and tell him he's got to make some changes on his staff. If he doesn't want to do it, you show him the door.
Yeah, it's that simple.
That's simple. And if I'm Dirk Cutter, and I don't blame Dirk Cutter, if I'm Dirk Cutter, I'm going to do it. I want this job. I've waited a long time for this job. I'm not going down on principle.
My way.
Yeah. So there's other coaches out there. And I didn't think of that Marvin Lewis connection, Steve. They are very close. Now, those two are very close.
Here's a connection for you. Although Jameis's performance this evening has pretty much quashed at least the reasonable people who think Cutter and Jameis are not a great mix. I'm not saying they're not a bad mix. However, there's speculation out of Arizona. Arians is going to retire. Obviously, his health was starting to be an issue. His wife wants to enjoy the good life with her husband. I've seen too many documentaries on NFL Network where she's like, oh, he took another coaching job. Dang, I thought I was ready to go to Georgia. At any rate, Mr. Arians has a relationship with Jameis. Goes back a ways. Jameis was in high school. Would the Bucks? Do you think, if Arians still has an itch to coach, but he doesn't need all the hassle and the stress as a head coach, given the fact that he's got a relationship with Jameis, he knows Jameis, they know each other.
You guys are working it,
What do you think about pulling in Arians? Like I said, I've never been sold on Mike Bajakian.
In what capacity?
Quarterback coach.
I think that's too much of a come down. For Arians, I don't think you would do that.
Too much of a come down. Now, do you think Cutter, if something like that did happen, hypothetically, do you think Cutter might be, you know, looking behind his back too much, like, oh, this is a setup, waiting for me to fail, and it'll elevate my head coach?
I would. I'd think that. I think, you know, hey, maybe the Glazers are getting their guy in position to dump me after year three.
Now, what? You know, how about this? Same guy, but obviously Arians has a relationship with Jameis. If you were the Glazers, would you tell Jameis, like, hey, you might want to work with Arians in the offseason?
My feeling is if Arians is no longer going to be the coach of the Cardinals, he's going to retire. I think he'll be done with football. Unless he wants to be a head coach somewhere else. I don't see him taking a QB.
Yeah, I don't see him going backwards. Just guys, two-time NFL coach of the year. He's an older guy. I don't know. I mean, if his wife is saying, oh, I wish we could chill out, can't imagine
she'd want
him.
Go to the lake house in Georgia.
Can't imagine she'd want him to be a quarterbacks coach. Like, maybe she could stomach a head coaching gig.
You guys have been doing some serious thinking over here. That's outstanding.
I think the fans are in a very tough spot, Ira. And that's why they look for your sage wisdom as this podcast wraps up. Presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon.
I feel that Dirk Cutter took a step forward tonight.
I think so,
in
too.
The case to keep him.
Jameis took that step forward.
I wouldn't say a giant step, but he took a step forward in the right direction to make the case to keep him. I believe he did.
Well, he didn't hurt himself. It's just, you know, bizarre because
I thought they were going to get trounced.
Oh, I did too.
I thought they were going to get trounced.
Well, I picked a victory in the last podcast.
That's why you're pissed off, isn't it?
No. I just thought, you know, that, like I just said 100 times already, if Jameis is a good quarterback, he's going to have a great game, and great quarterbacks don't let their teams lose 6
Lee,
in a row.
I will say it. Atlanta is not nearly as good as they were last year. Not nearly. Not nearly.
Well,
last
to me,
year
not
was
nearly.
Special.
Oh,
last
yeah, but when you say not nearly, to me, it's a team that's on the cusp of not making the playoffs.
You know,
they're still good. They miss Shanahan.
They're not going to the Super Bowl. This Falcon team's not going to the Super Bowl like last year's team.
Too many better teams.
I'd be very surprised.
Too many better teams, but they're still a very good football team, and they know how to win. I mean, they're 9-5, coming off the Super Bowl. No Super Bowl hangover.
They went up to Seattle a month ago when Seattle was still decent, and they beat them. And that doesn't happen very often. Boy, what not Seattle.
Well, they got everybody hurt on defense.
Boy, what that game. You know what? I could see them falling apart. I think they're in big trouble.
I think Carroll might be in trouble.
The next 3 years, I think they're in trouble.
Carroll, you can make argument Carroll's lost control.
I think Wilson's holding up that entire franchise.
Sure.
They're getting old. They're getting old. I think Bennett's gone after this year. I think they'll.
You think they're going to get fed up with him?
I think so.
Well, no. Elaborate. Wilson is holding up. Wilson's one of the better quarterbacks in the league.
I said holding up in a positive way.
He's holding
up the whole franchise.
Okay. I thought you were like holding up progress.
He had a bad game yesterday. You know, so did everybody. I mean, you're down 41-0. You know,
They're a little overrated.
He's pulled a lot of games out of his
butt. Oh, he sure has. Yeah, when you said holding up, I thought it was progress.
I meant in a positive way.
Okay.
He was a legitimate MVP candidate going into yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just for the record, Marvin Lewis was linebacker's coach with the Steelers for 5-6 years or so.
Under Cowher?
Yeah.
Okay. Under Cowher. Had to be under Cowher.
Cowher so. And what's his face, who's now at Green Bay, defensive coordinator. He's been there forever. He was head coach of the Panthers for a
Capers.
While. Don Capers.
Yeah. All right, Ira, anything you gleaned from the Glazers on the field? Nothing?
Yeah, I gleaned something. I said, I'm returning a few phone calls. I got my shot.
Got your shot
got
in?
Got my shot out.
And were you scolded?
No. By the way, I thought Gruden's speech was gracious. Gracious.
Yeah.
You know?
Very gracious, just thanking everybody. And it was nice, and I'm glad they got to do it for me. I thought he might get choked up. He didn't. The kids and the family and mom and dad out there.
Martin Fennelly and I, we went down early. We stood in one of the tunnels where the players gather to wait to go on the field.
Where the Bucks come in.
So we had unfettered access for about 10, 15 minutes. Simeon Rice sees me, grabs me around the neck. What's going on with the Hall of Fame, Kaufman? you can't get away from these guys.
Unfettered access.
Unfettered.
And last hypothetical here. Last one, Ira. Jameis, during his news conference tonight, he said that a friend of his texted him a scripture quote this morning.
As I do for you every morning.
and Jameis said it
moved. Before you have your oatmeal, I give you a proverb.
It moved him. I forgot exactly what it was, not the point. And later in the news conference, he said that friend sends him, the last couple of weeks, has been sending him scripture quotes every day.
I think it's something about fighting through adversity, something like that.
And bad adversity and that kind of thing. I would bet all of my Jacksonville Jaguars winnings that's Derek Brooks. That screams Derek Brooks.
It does.
They have a relationship, and maybe Brooks felt the need to jack it up a little bit to keep his eyes on the day-by-day grind. It screamed Derek Brooks, which to me...
There's no way Brooks is going to abandon Jameis Winston. Not going to happen.
No.
Not going to abandon him.
Now, was that you or was it Gary Shelton who was mocking Derek Brooks, who said it's been snowing in his household?
Oh, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that.
I mean, in levity of being sarcastic. But apparently...
has gray beard. His gray beard.
He's going gray. It looks like the stress of the storm is getting to him.
He's got that gold jacket on, though. Sapp had it on, too, right? Had the gold jacket on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Sapp had the gold jacket with like a weird hat, which was like a baseball.
And Brooks has been wearing some weird hats, too.
It's a hat thing going on. Now, we've talked about calculating guys with relationships with Jameis. Mr. Brooks is a smart guy who has aspirations in the NFL. His relationship with Jameis intrigues me on what he might be trying to accomplish.
How many times do I have to say there's got to be a place in this organization for Derek Brooks? Find a place for this man. He can help you with free agency. He can help you in the community. He's an exalted figure in Tampa with no blemishes. He's working for the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to Goodell. Roger, when are you going to hire this guy in a big capacity? He says, I'm trying. And then he laughs, and Brooks is kind of in limbo. I mean, he's put his time in with the Arena League. He's learned the business side of sports as an executive. It's time for Derek Brooks to make his mark.
I hope people caught the subtle element there.
I've been accused of being subtle in about 11 years over there.
37.
You have the ear of one Roger Goodell.
There was a time in Canton about 3 or 4 years ago. It might have been the Brooks induction in August or the Sapp one. And it was the day before the induction, and they were having a luncheon, and the media was invited. And I'll never forget this. This was one of quite an unforgettable moment. And I was sitting there having lunch, And Goodell came in a few minutes late.
Beet salad.
And, you know, looked around the room. He looked around the room. And there were some Hall of Fame officials over there. There was some media over there. And I'm sitting there with a couple other guys. And he sits right next to me. Knew me a little bit. You know, from the New York days a little bit. I talked to Goodell for an hour and a half. Just the two of us. No tape recorder. Ask about the Glazers. Speaking freely. Talking about some other owners that he couldn't stand.
Such as?
Guy's a clown. You know, the guy spoke incredibly candidly. Showed a little trust. How foolish was it on him when I reported everything he said the next day? I'm kidding. But I wasn't working for Joe Bucks fan at that point. But that's why I love going to Canton. And I want you boys to remember that going into next
summer.
But I don't go unless a buck gets in. I don't go.
Sure. Last one, Ira. All this bad tackling that we saw tonight.
Awful tackling.
Are we supposed to, again, have a moral victory because we can't tackle and not blame Dirk Cutter for not getting his team tackling?
Bad coaching.
Gentlemen. There's one player that tackles beautifully on his team. Time and time again.
Hold on.
Devontae Bond. Every time I look at him making a play, I mean, it's textbook. Wow. Square your shoulders up.
Respect for Devontae Bond over here.
His tackling's beautiful, man.
That's bad coaching, Steve. That's bad coaching, I think.
All right, Ira. Get to bed.
Speaking of bad coaching, let's hit the sack over there, my friend.
All right, get out of here, Ira. Hit the sack.